The ombudsman junks bribery charges against former Senator Lila de Lima and her former aide. We'll talk later with de Lima's lawyer, attorney Filibon Tacardon. Former vice presidential bet Walden Bello out on bail after his arrest on cyber libel charges. A lawmaker wants peddlers of fake news placed behind bars. Anwaray Party List Representative Florencio Noel will speak with us about his proposal. And the Philippine Health Department again wants the redefinition of the term fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. And thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the news at this hour, detained former Senator Lila de Lima scoring another legal victory. Bribery charges against her were junked by the Office of the Ombudsman. The complaints alleging that de Lima received over 8 million pesos from self-confessed drug lord Kerwin Espinosa were dismissed due to lack of probable cause. The Ombudsman's ruling was dated January 5th, but was only received by de Lima's camp Tuesday. Also cleared of bribery charges, de Lima's former bodyguard Ronnie Dayan, who was accused of receiving the bribe from Espinosa on behalf of the former senator. The ombudsman cited inconsistencies in the testimonies of Espinosa and another witness, Marcelo Adorco. Espinosa recanted his statements against de Lima in April and admitted he was only forced to make the claims against her. The Philippine Justice Department standing by the drug charges still pending against former Senator de Lima. The DOJ says it's now up to the Muntinlupa Court to decide on the matter. The DOJ adds state prosecutors have already presented their evidence against de Lima and that it's now the former senator's turn to present hers. De Lima has maintained her innocence and blames former President Rodrigo Duterte for the drug charges he is facing. And let's talk now to the legal counsel of former Senator Lila de Lima. Joining us now, Attorney Filibon Tacardon. Attorney Bonnie, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Ma'am Carmina, and good afternoon to all your viewers. Thank you for having us in your program again.
First off, how is the senator doing upon hearing of the latest development?
Well, she was very happy with this new development. This is another legal victory for her. And what is more important for us, this is another clear presentation of what we have been telling the people, that all the charges against Senator de Lima are trumped up and based on coerced statements made by inmates and drug personalities like Kerwin Espinosa.
The ombudsman dropping the direct and indirect bribery complaints against the former senator. What to you will be the repercussions on the other cases pending against the former senator, Bonnie?
Well, as I have said, what we are trying to explain to the people is the pattern used by the former administration and even the Department of Justice before, of using coerced statements in order to prop up their trump up charges against Senator de Lima. And one by one, this pattern, this narrative is being exposed by the people they themselves have used in persecuting Senator de Lima. As you have said earlier, Kerwin Espinosa already recanted his statement and claimed in a written statement that he was coerced in preparing that statement. I would like also to add that even the other witness against Senator de Lima, Adorco, in his statement before the Regional Trial Court of Makati, he also recanted his statements implicating Senator de Lima and Kerwin Espinosa in alleged drug dealing. And he also claimed that he was forced, he was coerced, he was pressured by then, I remember he mentioned the name of Mr. Jubis Pinedo in order to support Kerwin Espinosa's accusation against Senator de Lima. So both of them actually recanted their statements. And unfortunately, the recantation came only just recently, and that their statements are now in a different court where we are not involved. So we just like to inform the public that, again, these recantations prove our position and our defense that all the charges against Senator De Lima are trumped up, and they came from coerced witnesses against Senator De Lima.
So the recantations plus this latest development, to you, to your mind, this sort of signals the beginning of the unraveling of all these cases against the former senator.
Yes, I have made an appeal before when the Deputy Director Ragos came out and recanted his accusation against Senator De Lima. I appealed to all other witnesses to join Rafael Ragos and, well, to at least come out just like what Rafael Ragos did and state to the public the real reason why they made those accusations against Senator De Lima. And one by one, and we now have another recantation by Marcelino Adorco, and together with the recantation of Kerwin Espinosa and the recantation of Ronnie Dayan, we are hoping that more and more witnesses will come out and finally establish and prove the innocence of Senator De Lima against this trump up illegal drug charges against her.
Do you have reason to believe, Attorney Boni, that the DOH at this point can intervene and just stop and drop all the charges against the former senator? Because when you talk to the DOJ, when you ask them, they're saying that it's now up to the Muntinlupa Court to decide on the matter. State prosecutors, they presented their evidence. It's now your turn. They still have to follow the process here. Or do you think they can intervene?
Procedurally, Ma'am Carbina, the withdrawal of the drug charges is an executive act. So to our mind, our position is yes, the Department of Justice can still initiate an action to withdraw the charges based on this recent development, now knowing that the witnesses are coerced or pressured in making accusations against Senator De Lima. But the DOJ is also correct in saying that it will be up to the court to decide on their action. So my point is, they cannot just say that they cannot do it. They can still do it because it's still within their mandate to ensure that only those who are that they can only prosecute those who are really guilty. But if they will find that the person that they are actually prosecuting is not really guilty, then they still have this mandate to withdraw, that they can withdraw the charges against them and appeal to the court for the approval of their withdrawal. It's not simply a no for DOJ. They can still do it because it's still an executive function as far as we are concerned.
And are you optimistic? Are you confident that the Justice Department, headed now by Secretary Boying Remulla, if they so decide, or that Secretary Boying Remulla can actually do it, because it's now a new administration and it's now new leadership there?
Well, I don't want to preempt the Honorable Secretary of Justice, but what I'm saying is just a procedural matter, Carmina. Mm-mm. It's an executive function which they can do if they can find basis. And it's up to the court to decide whether or not to grant their initiative in withdrawing the cases.
But to your mind, do they have enough basis? Or is there enough basis for them to execute that which is part of their mandate?
Well, of course, if you're going to ask me, we have all the basis for them to withdraw the charges, especially in the one in Muntinlupa. The recantation of Rafael Ragos, for example, is the very basis for the withdrawal, because the criminal complaint against Senator De Lima in criminal case number 165 is hinged on the claim of Deputy Director Ragos that he delivered money. Mm-hmm. And that is also the very same reason why the then The Muntinlupa Court before denied our demurrer to evidence, our motion to dismiss the case against Senator De Lima, because at that time, Deputy Director Ragos still insisted that he made deliveries to Senator De Lima. But now that he recanted, there's no basis for the continuing persecution of Senator De Lima insofar as that case is concerned. Mm-mm. In the other case, we are now in the process of applying for bail. And at this time, we are confident that based on the testimonies we have received, we have basis to pursue an application for bail, and we will definitely pursue it.
All right. Now, as we reported earlier, the DOJ said that the state prosecutors have already presented their evidence against the former senator. It's now your turn to present yours. What kind of evidence are we looking at here, Attorney Bonnie?
Well, that is correct. In that case, I think the Department of Justice is referring to the criminal case number 165, where they were able to rest their case. Right now, the status of that case is that Ronnie Dayan, one of the accused, is presenting his evidence. And in the course of his testimony, he mentioned the recantation made by Deputy Director Ragos. And during the last hearing, the Honorable Court actually directed Ronnie Dayan to produce the affidavit of Deputy Director Ragos where the recantation was made. Mm-mm. So we're in that stage right now, and in the next hearing, the lawyer of Ronnie Dayan will be presenting the affidavit of Deputy Director Ragos as part of his defense.
Mm-hmm. All right. What can you say, though, about the timing by which this decision of the Office of the Ombudsman came out? It took them almost the entire lifespan of the Duterte administration to investigate probable cause, only to come out with a decision that there is none. Attorney Bonnie.
Well, I it's hard to comment on that, but what I can say is that the truth is there is another case still pending with the Ombudsman, which is similar to the case that they dismissed just recently. Until now, that case is still pending, and the Ombudsman has yet to resolve that criminal complaint for bribery also, and indirect bribery against Senator De Lima and a few other personalities. Why they took them so long, I don't want to comment on that, because we have still a pending case.
Do you find yourselves, Attorney Bonnie, just, you know, keeping your head down, not saying too much at this point? Because number one, there are pending cases. But then number two, there have been recantations. And that the release or freedom of the senator is within reach, sort of, at this point. And you don't want to rock the boat.
Well, we are very much into the case. And that we are focused right now on our application for bail, and we've been rigorously pursuing the bail application in that criminal case number 167. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we are actually preparing for the defense presentation of defense for Senator De Lima. So we're just doing what is expected from us as defense team of the as members of the defense team of Senator De Lima, and hopefully all our activities and all our preparation will come into fruition later, and we can secure the early release of Senator De Lima.
So going into that now, as a final question, there have been calls for her release. Attorney Bonnie, do you think that release is not only inevitable but impending?
Senator De Lima is innocent of all the charges filed against her. So based on that statement, Ma'am Carmina, we believe, and I personally believe, that her release is really inevitable. The witnesses and the evidences, the pieces of evidence presented against her will only prove one thing, that these are all trumped-up charges coming from coerced, forced, threatened witnesses who allow themselves to be used to in persecuting Senator De Lima. Her release is, again, inevitable, not because of anything, but because Senator De Lima did not commit the crimes attributed against her.
Attorney Bonita Gardon there, legal counsel for former Senator Laila De Lima. Thanks, Attorney Bonnie, for joining us today. Really
thank you, Ma'am Carmina, and see you again.
Take care. The Philippine Health Department again pushing to redefine the meaning of complete vaccination to include the first booster dose. DOH officer in charge, Maria Rosario Verjeda, says the renewed push comes after their initial proposal was put on hold.
Well, we are proposing again, no? Because we have proposed this before in the previous administration, but because our economy was just starting to open then, we were asked to hold it first, no, so that it cannot affect the opening of the economy. So we are now again proposing to the Office of the President. We will propose to the Office of the President that our fully vaccinated definition be refined, that we will now include the first booster shots.
The Philippines' COVID-19 tally was up by more than 2,600 Tuesday. The health department says all areas except the Visayas region are seeing an uptrend in cases. Also on Tuesday, over 900 more cases of Omicron subvariants were detected in the country. Majority of the infections carry the highly transmissible BA.5. Various organizations taking part in efforts to increase COVID vaccination coverage in the Philippines. Dr. Benito Atienza of the Philippine Federation of Professional Associations says they are coordinating with school officials to make COVID vaccinations available to more individuals. Atienza adds enough preparation is needed to prevent an outbreak of COVID cases and other infectious diseases in schools.
Dapat po maging handang ating mga eskwelahan, ating mga magulang, lalo na sa pagpasa ating mga bata. At hinihiling pa rin natin, lalo na yung mga 5 to 12 na magbabakuna na, lalo na marami pa rin hindi tayo nababakunahan sa ating mga estudyante. At kaya nga po, lahat po ngayon ng ating health centers, ating mga school ay nag-o-offer ng bakunahan. In fact po, ang aming mga professor, nurses, doctors, midwives ay nakikipag-ugnayan sa ating mga eskwelahan na nagkakaroon ng bakunahan, malawo na bakunahan para sa mga estudyante para protektado sila bago pumasok.
U.S. health regulators have approved a new procedure of administering the monkeypox vaccine in an effort to stretch out low vaccine supplies. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has authorized injecting the monkeypox vaccine intradermally. This means it will be injected between layers of the skin rather than below the skin. This procedure will increase available doses fivefold as it only uses a fraction of the shot but provides the same protection.
Today, the FDA has issued an emergency use authorization, or EUA, allowing healthcare providers to use an alternative dosing regimen of the Jynneos vaccine. The EUA also allows for use of the vaccine in individuals younger than 18 years of age.
We've made more than 1.1 million vaccine doses available throughout the country, and we've delivered more than 620,000 of those doses. We've also deployed more than 15,000 courses of the TPOXX treatment and have increased the country's capacity to administer tests on a weekly basis to some 80,000.
The World Health Organization decries attacks on monkeys in Brazil over monkeypox fears. Local media have detailed a spike in attacks on monkeys using stones or poison in a number of Brazilian cities amid the surge in monkeypox cases there. The WHO clarifies monkeys are not the main transmitters of the disease and have nothing to do with the current outbreak. Monkeypox received its name because the virus was first identified in monkeys kept for research. But the disease is found in a number of animals, most frequently in rodents. We'll take a break now. Up ahead, Philippine lawmaker Florencio Noel will join us to discuss his proposal to place fake news spreaders Behind Bars. Steve Van Copies will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The ombudsman junks bribery charges against former Senator Laida de Lima and her former aide. De Lima's camp says this again proves that Duterte administration coerced witnesses into pinning her in the illegal drug trade. Former Vice Presidential Bet Walden Bello out on bail after his arrest on cyber libel charges. A lawmaker wants peddlers of fake news placed behind bars. And the Philippine Health Department again wants the redefinition of the term fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Back with more news, the Philippine Education Department says warranty provisions can be invoked to replace the laptops procured by the agency, which were flagged as outdated and pricey by state auditors. Our very own Joyce Balancho now joins us with more details. Joyce, tell us more.
Yes, Carmina, DepEd spokesperson Attorney Michael Poa in a press briefing earlier laid out the department's response to the report of the Commission on Audit that flagged the purchase of outdated and pricey laptops for the teachers. He said that they are now coordinating with the procurement service of the Department of Budget and Management, or the PSDBM, that bought the said gadgets. Warranty provisions can be invoked in which laptop specifications can be upgraded or these can be replaced altogether. Also, in the 2023 proposed budget, the DepEd also requested funds for added learning materials, including gadgets for teachers. The department is also asking the PSDBM the details of the procurement so that it can better respond to the COA's recommendations. Attorney Poa admitted that as of this time, they do not hold any documents pertaining to the procurement. Hence, it is difficult for them to comment on the price of these laptops. Initially, the previous DepEd administration requested to buy laptops for a price of 35,000 each, but the PSDBM instead bought units at 58,300 pesos each. Now, on the opening of classes, Carmina, DepEd will be issuing a new department order that will emphasize the needed COVID-19 protocols that schools should implement at the beginning of classes. Octa Research Group earlier warned that COVID cases might increase the moment the students attend again in-person classes. Attorney Poa said they respect Octa's comments but insist that there is a study that shows that there is no correlation between increase of COVID-19 cases and the implementation of face-to-face classes. Most countries around the Philippines are now back doing in-person classes. He also stressed, for now, the DepEd is banking on the schools to prepare their individual infection containment strategy, which should detail the procedures that should be followed in case a student gets infected with COVID-19. Meanwhile, on August 15, Carmina, the DepEd will put up Oplan Balik Eskwela Command Center here in their office in Pasig City. This will be ready to receive complaints or any issues that might arise during the opening of classes. Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Joyce Balancho reporting to us live. Back here in the newsroom, TV personality Arnel Ignacio returning to the Overseas Workers Welfare Administration as its new head. Malacanang confirmed Ignacio's appointment as OWA Administrator. In a Facebook post, Ignacio thanked President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. for the trust. Ignacio had served as OWA's Deputy Executive Director, but he resigned in 2019 due to personal reasons. Former vice presidential contender Walden Bello out on bail a day after he was arrested on cyber libel charges. The case against him was filed by former Davao City information officer Jeffrey Tupas, who Bello claimed was involved in a drug raid last year. Tupas has denied this, but Bello says he will not apologize. He says his statement was less about Tupas, but more on the leadership of Tupas's boss, then Davao City mayor and now vice president Sara Duterte Carpio.
Instead of meeting us in a democratic debate and discussion, as the whole country was urging at that point to answer questions about her record, the camp of the mayor instead responded with a number of very intimidating actions, like this cyber libel suit, the City Council of Davao declaring me persona non grata, and Sara Duterte's camp labeling me anarcho-politician. A person like Jeffrey Tupas would not have the courage to do this unless she was backed by big political force.
Delia believes he will not only prove his innocence, but will also show the public the need to decriminalize libel.
The example of the vice president, then mayor, using it so blatantly for political purposes will be an example to people of, my God, you know, we have this monster of a law that can be used by opportunistic politicians like Sara Duterte and other opportunistic politicians who don't want to debate the issues, but instead just want to weaponize the law in order to suppress dissent.
We're going to take another break now. Still ahead, non-functioning pumping stations blamed for flooding in Manila. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back with more news, the Metro Manila Development Authority points to non-functioning pumping stations in Manila as a cause of flooding in some areas. Lady Vicentia reports.
The Metropolitan Manila Development Authority says repairs in three pumping stations in Manila contributed to flash floods in parts of Manila following Friday's heavy rains. The MMDA explains these stations are part of the Dolomite Beach project. They are being used as a drainage output where water can be treated before they are discharged to Manila Bay.
Ang area na, ang catchment area niyan, itong Tap, itong Malate, yung mga binahang lugar.
Sa ngayon kasi ayaw ipa-discharge directly yung tubig na gagaling sa area dahil untreated kasi yun eh. So mapupollute yung tubig sa area. Gusto natin na maging swimmable.
The MMDA is also advising the public to prepare for recurring floods until repairs are done. As a temporary measure, mobile pumps will be deployed to inundated areas to siphon flood waters. In the meantime, Public Works and Highway Secretary Manuel Bonoan says lack of funds caused the delays in finishing the repairs. The DPWH also conducted declogging along Taft Avenue.
Ito naman po requirement kasi ng DENR na dapat natin proteksyonan yung Dolomite Beach para hindi madumihan. Actually, baka makakomponin ho namin lahat ito by middle of September or latest end of September po.
Incessant rains last week submerged parts of the capital, making it a nightmare for commuters and motorists to get home. The Manila City LGU says if flooding happens again, it will offer free rides to stranded commuters.
Automatic na po, pagka malakas ang ulan, ang ating pong kapulisan, ang MDRRMO and ang MTPB po ay nagbibigay po ng libreng sakay. Of course, continuous pa rin pong mga declogging namin sa buong Kamaynilaan.
Lady Vicentia, ABS-CBN News.
Parts of Visayas and Mindanao also hit by flooding following days of heavy rainfall in Negros Occidental. Rivers overflowed and many families had to be rescued and evacuated to safer areas. This was also the situation in Cebu as flooding hit several homes in Carcar City. The San Fernando Highway was also inundated while roads in the municipality of Boljon were closed to traffic due to floods. In Davao City, more than 200 families were evacuated amid rising flood waters. Some travelers were also stranded and forced to spend the night in evacuation centers. At least one person was reported missing in Tamugan Village. Nonstop rains also displaced about 1,000 families in a village in Kabakan, Cotabato. Well, 9 people have been killed and 7 others remain missing in Seoul as the South Korean capital sees its worst rainfall in decades. Dramatic images shared on social media showed people wading through waist-deep water, subway stations overflowing, and cars half-submerged in the Gangnam district. It also caused landslides and power outages in other areas. Authorities warn more rains are on the forecast. President Yoon Suk-yeol blamed the record rainfall on climate change and said government needed to adapt. Meanwhile, the Philippine Foreign Affairs Department says there have been no reports of Filipinos affected by the flooding in Seoul. It adds the Philippine Embassy there is monitoring the situation. Last month marked one of the hottest Julys on record. The World Meteorological Organization says global temperatures measured nearly half a degree above the average. That's despite the ongoing La Nina weather phenomenon, which is meant to have a cooling influence. The European summer has seen extreme heat waves and drought, with low rainfall records broken in some countries. Last month, the weather agency warned that heat waves like the ones baking Western Europe are becoming more frequent and may become the norm in decades to come. In other news, the FBI's raid on former President Donald Trump's Florida residence sparks a political firestorm in the U.S. Top Republican leaders throw their support behind Trump, denouncing the raid as a weaponization of the justice system. Trump said the raid was done by, quote, radical left Democrats. Make that Democrats who are desperately blocking his possible presidential bid. Trump, though, has yet to confirm if he is indeed running. The White House denied it knew about the raid, adding it respects the independence of the Justice Department. The FBI, which is led by a Trump appointee, has yet to provide a reason for the raid, but media reports say it was in connection with a potential mishandling of classified documents by Trump. In business, the Philippines' trade deficit widens in June. Data from the Philippine Statistics Authority show the trade gap reached $5.8 billion, marking an annual increase of 75%. That's as imports outpaced exports. Total imports hit $12 billion, while export sales reached just over $6 billion. But Socioeconomic Planning Secretary Arsenio Balisacan says the rising trade deficit is not a cause for concern. He also expects it to grow further as construction and public spending continue. Dito Telecommunications accuses its rival telcos Globe and Smart of creating a ruse to prevent interconnection. The third major telco player earlier filed abuse of dominant position complaints against Globe and Smart with the Philippine Competition Commission for supposedly barring most calls from Dito subscribers. In response, Globe said Dito should instead pay a fine of 622 million pesos for interconnection penalties and failure to address fraudulent calls that are using its network. Smart has also called out Dito over this issue.
I'm really quite surprised why they're saying that, oh, the reason we filed these cases is because we can't pay them these ISR charges. It's actually quite laughable because, number one, they, by that admission, they're already saying that our complaint is valid because they are making interconnection, which is mandated by law, subject to our acceptance and payment as a condition for them to interconnect with us. Out of 100 calls, the average calls from Dito that can get through to a Smart or Globe line is only maybe 20 calls out of 100. Now, the grade of service, this is what is mandated by law and the NTC, out of 100 calls, 99 should get through. But when Smart and Globe call Dito, their calls get through because we adhere to the grade of service as mandated by the NTC.
Meanwhile, Tamano clarifies fraudulent calls made by global criminal syndicates have long been a problem of the telco industry. He says they've put up cybersecurity systems to prevent such calls. Philippine Senator Raffy Tulfo wants a probe into continuing power outages in the provincial, make that in the province of Oriental Mindoro. And as Alvin El Chico tells us, the Energy Department is citing supply issues as one of the causes of the problem.
Brownout naman dito sa Mindoro.
Francis Nahito is one of the residents of Oriental Mindoro who complain about the intermittent supply of electricity in the province. While power supply is back, businesses and residents are complaining about the effects of frequent power fluctuations.
Kung may function po, halimbawa brownout, tapos naandun na kami sa mismong event, tapos walang kuryente, hindi po magagamit si lights and sounds. Halimbawa po, may kasal. So hindi na po magagamit yung lights and sounds. Ang mangyayari po doon, ako po mismo magsho-shoulder ng generator. Sana ayusin po ang serbisyo ng Ormeco. Dahil nagbabayad naman po ng tama ang mga taga-Mindoro eh. Pagka po hindi nakabayad ng tama, puputulan agad nila. Nasaan po yung hustisya?
Senate Energy Chairperson Rafi Tulfo is initiating a formal probe into the issue that will seek answers from officials of the Energy Department, Energy Regulatory Commission, cooperatives, and other energy players. Tulfo says the situation in several provinces, including Oriental Mindoro, is unacceptable.
Anong klaseng company ka? Nagpataas ka ng sweldo. Dapat naging magandang performance at tumaas yung revenue because of the good performance. In this case, saan nila kinuha yung pambigay ng bonus? Samantalang bad naman performance, alam ko na. Kasi nga, naniningil sila ng sobra-sobra, sino-shortchange nila ang kanilang mga consumer.
Energy Secretary Rafael Utilia is ready to face the Senate, but he says there are no shortcuts in finding a solution, especially that NAPUCOR, the agency in charge of missionary electrification, has already run out of funds.
The President is not after band-aid solutions. We have to go for long-term solutions. The amount of subsidy has been inadequate, and therefore the National Power Corporation has run out of funds. And we have to admit that there is such a problem. And therefore, the Energy Regulatory Commission, in its part, is running full speed in order to be able to help alleviate that.
Lutilia admits the Philippines is energy insecure as its overall sources of energy come from imported and more expensive fossil fuel, especially in off-grid areas.
Total supply of energy that we are using is 56.8% imported, as against only 43% domestic or indigenous. So, you can say that we are very energy insecure.
Okay.
No, less than 50%.
Aside from pushing for more renewable energy, Lutilia says the Philippines is open to try using nuclear power, particularly the modular type.
We will attend to them when they become commercially available. But right now, we will focus instead on one, for example, establishing the regulatory framework.
Lutilia clarifies, though, that on the issue of the revival of the Bataan Nuclear Power Plant, any decision should be consulted first with the community surrounding it as well as the local government. Alvin Olchico, ABS-CBN News.
We're going to take another break now. Still ahead, a tennis superstar hints at retirement. The latest in sports when we return. Stay with Dateline Philippines. The province of Cavite in the thick of preparations for the new school year. Our very own Michael DeLisa now joins us with that story. Michael.
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon. Yeah, teachers, parents, and several members of the community are joining hand in hand for the Brigada Escuela. Or this is the National Schools Maintenance Week, where people volunteer their time and skills to do repairs, maintenance work, and cleanup of public elementary and secondary schools. In Cavite, school teachers and other non-teaching staff of the Binakaya National High School held the motorcade that toured around the historical Aguinaldo Shrine and residential areas. Members of the Cavite Scene of the Crime Operatives, meanwhile, donated disinfectants and helped in the preparation at the Bacoor National High School. Members of several organizations, parents, alumni, and students are also present for the Brigada Escuela at the Indang National High School and Rosario Elementary School. Meanwhile, the Philippine Coast Guard also joined the Brigada Escuela at Sinangkapan Elementary School in Tuburan, Basilan. PCG personnel, teachers, soldiers from 18th Infantry Battalion, barangay officials joined hand-in-hand for the trimming of grasses and branches of trees, painting of classrooms and chairs. In Metro Manila, several local government units also kicked off their Brigada Escuela. In Makati, Mayor Abby Binay and other government and education officials launched the Brigada Escuela at Comembo Elementary School. They signed a memorandum of agreement for the quality education and safe opening of schools. Back to you, Carmina.
Okay, Mike, just a quick question, because as we were talking, there's been there was a press release sent to us by the ACT, Alliance of Concerned Teachers, saying that there is a shortage in classrooms in the areas that you
went around. Did you see any of the sort? We're in Cavite, for example. Do they have enough classrooms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, Carmina, because here we are now observing physical distancing in schools, and now here in several schools in Cavite, it is now strictly 30 students per classroom. But, you know, some teachers said they have enough classrooms now here in Cavite at least, because I think the number of enrollees have also decreased here, and for them, there are still enough classrooms here, at least in Cavite, Carmina.
Okay. All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Michael, Delisa, they're joining us today. Thanks, Mike. Take care and keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, in sports, tennis superstar Serena Williams retiring soon. Serena says the countdown has begun for her move, or for her to move on from the sport. According to Serena, she wants to focus more on her family. The 40-year-old stepped onto a hard court for the very first time in more than a year this week at the WTA Toronto tournament. Serena is gunning for the all-time record of 24 Grand Slam titles of tennis legend Margaret Court, which she can match at the U.S. Open later this month. In entertainment, U.S.-based music label 88 Rising set to bring its music and arts festival to Manila. It plans to hold the festival at the SM Festival grounds in Parañaque City on December 9 and 10. 88 Rising, which caters to Asian and Asian-American artists, said the event would feature top-charting and trailblazing artists from around the world. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cband.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.